Hey guys, apologize for my attire. There's a thunderstorm happening and there's a lot of lightning, so it's very likely that the power will go out. So I'm prepared. And I'm also prepared because we've been through history again this week. And I don't know about y'all, but like as a millennial, I am tired of once in a lifetime things happening during my lifetime. I think this is probably the 10th one. So we're just going to get into the stories because that's all I have bandwidth for right now. Okay, so last week I talked about two cases coming out of Okinawa, and I have an update on one of them. Brennan Washington, who is a 25-year-old U.S. Air Force member who's stationed at Kabina Air Base, has pleaded not guilty to the alleged kidnapping and sexual assault of a minor that was under 16 years old. So, again, this incident occurred on the 24th of December in Yomatan, where Washington is accused of engaging in indecent acts with the girl after luring her into his car. So, I still find this pretty upsetting and unsettling because it's not just about the crime itself, but how it was handled. So it's hard to understand why local police decided to keep this quiet, citing privacy concerns, but transparency for something like this is crucial, especially when it's involving serious allegations. That lack of transparency has understandably reignited anti-base sentiments in Okinawa, where there's already a pretty strained relationship between the local community and the U.S. military. You can see the previous video asked why. So crimes like these have a lasting impact on victims and their families, and my heart truly goes out to anyone that's affected by such horrific behavior. And to me, it's appalling that privacy concerns were used to justify withholding vital information from the public and from local authorities. So beyond the legal and moral implications, these incidents also raise broader questions about national security and international relations. Things like this erode trust and cooperation between nations and underscore the need for transparency and accountability in handling cases involving U.S. military personnel. Oh, there's some lightning. So as we move forward, I really feel it's crucial to prioritize justice for these victims and ensure transparency in reporting and holding these individuals accountable for their actions. It's not just about one case. It's about a culture of accountability and respect in our military presence abroad or at home. And that will lead me into the next story, which is just, it's heartbreaking. I need something a little stronger for this one because we're shifting gears to another pretty troubling story. So there's an active duty member. His name's Richard Nolan Tillotson, 24 years old, and he's originally from Connecticut, and he was recently arrested and charged with sexual assault in Princeton, West Virginia. The Mercer County Sheriff's Office responded to a call at the Microtel Suites on July 7, 2024, where he was apprehended, and shockingly, they discovered a missing 13-year-old girl from Monroe County in his presence, who has since been reunited with her family. I don't know if you've seen the episode that I had with Eileen Dong. She is a UN ambassador, and she's also one of the leading experts on human trafficking. But we discuss in her interview about what it's like when people go through trafficking and the relationship between human trafficking and our military. And I will say that this is human trafficking, but one of the incidents that we discussed in that episode was that a young girl was taken from a basketball game in Dallas, and then she was found in a hotel in Oklahoma. So yeah, this for me, it's terrifying that something like this can happen to a young girl. And it's pretty deeply disturbing on this, like this case by many levels. Like the fact that Tillotson, who's an active duty member, he's facing serious charges, including 9 counts of sexual assault in the third degree. We need to raise the alarm about accountability and people or minors' safety. So there's an ongoing investigation now, and to me, I think justice needs to be served swiftly for the victims, and that all the facts around this are communicated transparently between law enforcement and the military. There are predators within our ranks. It's alarming to think that people who are supposed to protect and defend also pose a threat to the most vulnerable among us, children. We need to ensure that our military has the strictest measures in place to identify and deal with predators, protect our communities, and maintain trust in our armed forces. That's some unforgivable shit. Okay, next story. Next story. We are brought back to the Coast Guard. So I've spoken with Whistler McGee a couple of times, as well as the administrator behind the pettiest officer of the Coast Guard. And I'd say these conversations have really highlighted the powerful narratives that are needed in driving change. So this story revolves around a 4,000-word email that sparked a Me Too movement within the Coast Guard. And it was sent anonymously, but it detailed alleged sexual misconduct at Sector Mobile in Alabama and criticized the Coast Guard's handling of investigation. So this movement really gained momentum when this email was posted on Facebook, which ignited a wave of responses from current and former service members under I'm with Whistler. So the outcry has really brought to light systemic issues of sexual assault, racism, sexism, bullying, and toxic leadership across the Coast Guard, overshadowing earlier scandals like the mishandling of cases at the Coast Guard Academy. Social media has become a battleground for accountability. Hey, I'm a part of that. Prompting congressional scrutiny and calls for cultural reform from both within and outside the service. Survivors and advocates are frustrated with official channels and have turned to social media to amplify their voices and demand justice. The movement is marked by graphic personal accounts and bystander testimonies, highlighting widespread issues that transcend rank and location within the Coast Guard. Dr. Kimberly McClear, a retired Coast Guard officer with a decade of advocacy experience, has been at the forefront of efforts to address internal sexism, racism, bullying, and other forms of misconduct. Her ongoing work underscores the persistent challenges and the need for systemic change within the military at large. She's been doing this and fighting for 10 years, and despite internal resistance, whistleblowers continue to push for transparency and accountability, and now they're leveraging media attention and the public outcry to pressure Coast Guard leadership into meaningful action. This ongoing saga really shows the need for systemic change within the entire military, not just the Coast Guard. And I wanted to tell you to stay tuned because we have an episode coming up that really exposes all that Dr. Kimberly McClear has been through on her journey to trying to get people help and trying to stop this culture from being toxic. That's going to be a big video, but I'll tell you that right now. Okay, we're going to get to our next story here. In this story, we're brought to Fort Campbell, an Army post. Oh gosh. Where a U.S. Army soldier, Private First Class Katia Duenas Aguilar, who was 23 years old, was tragically found dead in her nearby Clarkson, Tennessee home with nearly 70 stab wounds. The autopsy report revealed that she had 68 stab wounds to her neck and upper body. 68. The incident, which is ruled a homicide, is under investigation by the Clarksville Police Department and the Army CID, which is the Criminal Investigation Division, and no arrests have been made yet. 68. I can't. The brutality of this crime is indefensible, unforgivable, and when it happens to anybody, this is unforgivable, let alone service members. And my heart is hurting for her family, and I truly hope they can find justice by apprehending whoever did this to her. It's horrifying to know that somebody that they loved was taken from them in such a brutal manner. And I want to point out also that I have a link in the description where you can see the most dangerous duty stations for women. I found this through a LinkedIn connection, and honestly, it's flooring because there's a pattern of this behavior at certain duty stations. Something has to be done because it's completely indicative of a cultural problem to me. Like, the mentality at these places must be off, and it needs to be remedied by clearing out the leadership and starting over. Because if stuff like this keeps happening, it's because there's a mentality that this is all right. Maybe the mentality isn't this is all right to the point that it results in death, but this is all right that people are violent or racist or sexist against their fellow service members. It's not all right. And the way to fix it to me is to clear out whoever is in leadership there and put in people that have had good responses to their troops, expressing that, hey, this thing made me uncomfortable, or hey, I'm not sure I should follow this order. If you have leaders like that, that are capable of making good decisions, get rid of everybody else. Not that hard. All of those stories were very difficult to listen to / read. And I wanted to try to find something that was a little hopeful, a little more hopeful to end this video on. And I think I found it. So if you're navigating the claims process, this article is for you, and you can find it in the description below as well. But U.S. Representatives Nikki Budzinski, she's a Democrat from Illinois, Young Kim, Republican from California, and Mike Bost, a Republican from Illinois, have introduced a bipartisan Improving VA Training for Military Sexual Trauma Claims Act in D.C. The bill aims to enhance training for VA employees who handle military sexual trauma claims, streamlining the process and reducing the potential for re-traumatization of survivors. Also, I should say these opinions are not my own. I am an employee of the VA, but this is just straight from the article. Currently, the VA employees and contracted examiners kind of lack the adequate training to handle these sensitive claims effectively. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, I hurt my knee getting out of a helicopter or something, and it's a whole other thing to say, I got raped. And it's been affecting me to the point that I can't function as an adult. See the difference? Anyway, the proposed legislation mandates improved training, including annual sensitivity training and quality assurance measures to better support veterans filing MST-related disability claims, which is great news. So let me take you through the top goals of the bill. First is enhancing VA training. So the bill focuses on enhancing training for VA employees, particularly those who process and decide MST-related disability claims. And this is just to ensure that they are adequately prepared and sensitive to the needs of the MST survivors. That sounds pretty good to me. The next goal is reducing re-traumatization. So the legislation also aims to streamline the claims process and reduce potential for re-traumatization experienced by veterans filing MST claims by implementing comprehensive and up-to-date training protocols. Again, modernization is a great thing. And they also want to include more support for MST survivors. There's a renewed commitment to providing better support and care for veterans who have experienced MST during their service, emphasizing the importance of sensitivity and being thorough in handling their claims. I've heard many horror stories about what happened while trying to relay the story of what was done to a service member while they were serving. And I've lived through it myself, and I can tell you, like, when you hear accounts of what the claims process is like in even the episodes of this podcast, it's hard. Reopening wounds like that and then having to go on about your day like everything's fine is pretty pretty hard on veterans. I mean, I know even once I went to see a new therapist in 2015, and this was actually before, like right before I had gotten out and I was on terminal leave, but I had recounted what had happened to me in the intake appointment. And this was an inexplicably low for me for the rest of the weekend. And that appointment was on Friday. And I think on that Monday, I took most of a bottle of Tylenol PM because there was no support. And this was just for a new therapist. It wasn't for a CNP exam, which is pretty much the same thing. CNP means compensation and pension. But it's basically the same thing. You bear your soul to this person and you're walking a tightrope of, okay, maybe I will say this much, or maybe I'll tell it all and possibly get hospitalized. So you're very stressed throughout this entire process. You don't know anything about the person interviewing you. And you don't know how they'll react to hearing your trauma. I would say the first person, when I did my CNP exam initially, when I was still in the Air Force, they scoffed when I burst into tears into my appointment. And I was like shaking and panicking. And the dude was just like, how are you supposed to react to somebody reacting to you that way when you're telling the worst things that have happened to you in your life? I mean, you just have to break down what happened to you and keep it together as much as possible as you can throughout that interview, or you risk being hospitalized. And you don't really have another person in there with you, so you're walking on a tightrope. But I do feel optimistic about this bill because it's modernization, it's updating, it's showing empathy, sympathy, and care towards survivors of MST, which is all we really need. To me, I think that's everything that we need, is understanding and empathy and a little bit of grace, because we've gone through something so horrible that, of course, you never want to talk about it again. And a lot of times, even the stuff that has happened to me that I haven't shared with people, I don't want to talk about it because it makes it real. And that's hard to explain. Like, yes, it was real and it happened to me, but giving it life through speech, no, I'm not ready for all that. Now that we've gotten through the MST news, I want to tell you about next week's episode. We will be interviewing Pablo 1620. He is a wonderful man, and it was such a joy to speak to him. I met him at a veterans entrepreneur class, just like how I met Jeff a few episodes back. But he shares his story and also talks about alternate methods of care. And I think that highlighting all these different resources is super crucial to getting people help. Not everyone responds to the same stuff. And that's okay. That's because we're all different. That's how it works. But please tune into that if you are curious about other ways to process your trauma. And if you would like to know more, I'll give a little sneak peek this week. But that episode comes out on Wednesday, and I think you'll really enjoy it. This video was pretty emotional, and I will throw out a trigger warning prior to it coming out, but I think that it's something that anyone could benefit from watching. I didn't want to forget to mention the Facebook group. In there, we're growing a little community of supportive people that understand you in a way that no one else does. If you're a survivor of MST, if you have a family member that has been through MST, come on and join the group. We are also doing activist activities in the group. We're planning them currently. So if you want to join and get out there and start advocating to end this problem, this is the group for you. Also, if you visit the website, it's been updated. If you're interested in sharing your story, but you kind of don't know how or where to start, there is a free download. It is a It's a guide to sharing your story. It's called Your Voice, Your Power. So you go there, download it, and you fill it out, and this will help you begin to shape your story. And also, if you want to come to the group and share a little bit and have us help you put this story together, maybe you're not a writer, not everybody is, we're here for you. And we would love to have you because, again, nobody understands an MST survivor like an MST survivor. So I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you so much for spending the time with me. And I hope that you have a safe week ahead. As always, I'm your host, Rachel Smith, and we'll see you next time. Bye. And the power didn't go out. Woo-hoo.
Remember, our voices are weapons in the fight against MST. Stay connected, share your story, and join our fight to end military sexual trauma for good. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Silence Voices of MST.